Our 10:45 traditional service. If you're visiting with us today, this is one of two services going on at this time. We also have a contemporary service going on in the Wilson Activity Center, so let's pray for them as they have that service as well. Please take this time to fill out the registration pads in your pews and turn to the announcement area of your bulletin. Let's see here. All Saints Sunday is November the 5th. If you have a loved one you would like to be remembered, you'll see the information on submitting a picture and scripture on the back of the bulletin, as well as the deadline for the submissions. Charge conference is coming up on November the 20th. Please make plans to be here at 6 p.m. for this very important meeting in the life of the church. This Wednesday's life application class is Strength of the Trustees, led by John Gentry, chairperson of the trustees. You can see on the insert the amazing qualifications of John, as well as our final class leader for the fall, Tony Hilliard. Come be a part of this wonderful time of practical learning and discussion. Call Pastor Doug if you need any details. Come join in on the Wednesday meal, and then you can go join John in the Emmanuel classroom downstairs. To those of you who have already submitted your covenant sheets and your giving commitment cards, we'd like to say thank you. If you have yours with you today, you can just drop it in the offering plate, or you can give it to an usher at the end of the service. If you need a commitment card, you can find one in the back of the pew. Please look on the back side of the bulletin to see all things happening in Asbury in the upcoming weeks and months. All right. Please stand as we pass the peace of Christ with one another. Diana plays that every Halloween, so We love it when she does that. That's a toccata and fugue, and well, that's just the toccata though, in D minor by Bach, and it has a certain Halloweenish feel to that. So please stand for the call of worship. The earth is the Lord's with the fullness thereof.
And the world and those who dwell therein.
For God has founded it upon the seas.
And established it upon the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in God's holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts.
Who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive the blessing from the Lord. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord.
And who seek the face of God and Jacob.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 110, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as we recite the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning, all. How are y'all today? Good, good, good to see y'all. Hey, I got something. I brought something to show y'all this morning. Does anybody tell me what this is? What is it?
A map.
It's a map. What's it a map of?
City?
Oh, it sort of looks like that. It's got a big X in there. I wonder what that is. What do you think it is?
It's a treasure map,
isn't it? Here, hold on to that map here for me for a minute. So it is a treasure map, and that big X right there might be where the treasure can be found. So it looks like this treasure might be buried on a tropical island. Sort of looks like an island right there, and there's some palm trees right there, and there's a boat down there, and there's mountains. What do you think might be buried where that little X is? A treasure? What do you think's in the treasure? Gold? How about candy? You think a bunch of candy would be in there? This time of year, there might be a bunch of candy in there. But you know what? I have something else to show you. What do I have here?
Bible?
It's a Bible. And you see what's on that Bible? It's got an X on it, doesn't it? You think there might be treasure within this Bible? You know, this is treasure that might be gold and silver, but the Word of God is the big treasure. And God gives you something that's more valuable than anything else. In fact, I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and just read you a little wisdom. If I can hold everything at once, which I'm about to drop it all in my Bible. It says, call for the ability to be wise. Cry out for understanding. Look for it, just like you would look for silver. Search for it, as you would search for hidden treasure. So look for the wisdom and knowledge of God, and you will have great treasure. Can we pray together? Father God, thank you for your Bible. Help us to search every day for the treasure that's in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shout and sing, 'cause I'm standing on the promises of God.
people. I'd like to share the prayer requests that are printed in the bulletin. Let's see if I can find those. All right, we've got prayers for Caroline Tatum, Emily Evans, Beth Culbertson, Betty Watt, Mildred Bradley, Charlie Ward Sr., Bob McInturf, and Bob Howeth. We also have some extra prayers this Sunday. We need to add Martha Jane Southern to the prayer list. She is the mother of Byron Southern and lives in Missouri. Also remember the Southern family as they travel there. She passed away actually this morning, so let's keep them in our prayers for sure. Please add to the prayer list also, David Burton passed away. He was 99 years young. He's Joe Shuffield's stepfather. The memorial service will be at Roller Chenal Monday at 11 a.m. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather today together on this beautiful fall morning to praise and worship you. We look to you this morning for wisdom, for love, and compassion. We pray for all those who are in need, suffering from natural disasters, wildfires, oppression, and all forms of pain, no matter how small. Help us think of others before ourselves. We ask you to help those in need and give us strength to follow your example. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now bless our morning offering. Gracious God, we come to you during this time of worship with joy in our hearts, joy because we are able to place before you a portion of that which you have blessed us. Fill our hearts with your Spirit's gift of generosity so that our lives and our offerings will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to
Please join now in our hymn of meditation, number 500, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart.
Good morning, and please be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, or feel free to grab a pew Bible, we're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. And I just hope that as these words are read aloud, God's words, that you hear His voice, and that you listen, and that you understand what He is trying to say to us this morning. In Proverbs chapter 2, "My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I'm going to step out here for just a moment and step out of the pulpit, because I don't think there's anything out here that I can ground myself with before I say what I'm going to. We mess a lot of stuff up, don't we? God's kingdom is so simple, but we take it and we mess it up. A few years ago, I brought a sermon here, and within that sermon, I talked about the problem-solving decision-making process. And it is a process that to solve problems. And if you go out and you search, and you Google it, as the phrase says, you can find all different kinds of processes. Now, being former military, I looked and saw what the military decision-making process was, problem-solving, and found that they only had three steps to it. And I thought, yes, finally, because in the military, they say you do stuff at the eighth grade level, and I thought they've kept this one simple. But if you drill down into it just a little bit, you're going to find seven sub-steps at each one of the three steps, plus a few extra ones, making it about 24, 25 steps long. We just take the simple and we mess it up and we make it more complicated. Well, allow me to make a point, please. in our educational system, past high school, we start out, we take the basics, right? We go in and we sit down with our academic advisor and they say, okay, you're going to take this and you're going to take that. As a freshman, you're going to take freshman English and general biology and basic college algebra, and you get the idea. The very basic courses. And then as you start progressing up through your academic career at junior and senior level, you start to focus your coursework on a little bit narrower field. Well, when you finish up all of the courses in your prescribed course of study and you don't have to go visit the counselor anymore, then you're awarded a bachelor's degree, or as some people call it, an undergraduate degree. Those two terms just seem to smack of basicness. I mean, think of it. Bachelor's, in our terminology, bachelor means single. Or undergraduate, kind of like under the floor or under the, you know, down in the basement or something. I mean, it's just a beginning, absolute beginning. Most jobs, that if you apply for a job, they require a bachelor's degree, because they feel like that you have a basic understanding of the field of your study. You have that basic understanding. Now, if you continue on in your studies and you go on to the next level, then you're pursuing a master's degree, and your study becomes even more and more focused. Well, at the end of that degree comes the term master's degree. Not bad. I can tell you, by being in higher education for many years, sadly, undergraduates are just seen as numbers, and that's the way it is. But when you get to that master's degree level and you study for that, then you're treated by the administration as being professional. You're there to get that greater knowledge. And when you graduate, that greater knowledge is held in high regard. Would you agree? Well, the next, if you choose to go on for more punishment, then there's the doctoral level studies. Well, the courses of study, the courses you're going to take in that program, are so narrowly focused that when you graduate, you are seen at the pinnacle of your field of study. If you go to a doctoral level studies in divinity, you may spend your entire time studying one single book of the Bible to know everything there is about that. Well, you're seen by the university as a product at that point. You're treated as an equal, because the world is going to judge them, the university, by that product. They're going to judge you and your wisdom. If you go on to postdoctoral work, we're not even going to go down that road, because then you're seen as the wisest of the wise then. So let's just review just a second. As you go through our educational system, you gain a basic understanding, and then you gain more knowledge at the master's level, and then you become very wise at the doctoral level. What was the order of those three that we read this morning in Proverbs? Was it understanding, knowledge, and wisdom? No. Take it and flip it around. We've got wisdom upside down. Almost every time you read through Proverbs, you will see it in this order: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Solomon is the author of the book of Proverbs, and he was seen as one of the wisest men who ever lived. 1 Kings 4:30 says, "Solomon's wisdom surpassed all of the sons of the east, and all of the wisdom of Egypt." He was also seen as one of the richest men that ever lived, even by today's standards. Yes, he wrote fantastic books. However, he even fell short putting his own wisdom sayings into practice. Because you remember, in the latter part of his reign, he wrote the Proverbs in the first part. In the latter part, his wives said, "We want to start putting our gods into the temple as well." So what did he do to please his wives? He took their symbols of their gods and put them into the temple. Not a very wise move, if you think about it. But Solomon was human, just as we are. Well, how do we get wisdom? James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Let me say that again. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James is saying God does not examine us to see if we're worthy or not. The way I see it, God does not expect anything from us in return once he gives us that wisdom, only that we accept the wisdom we have asked for. In other words, God's not asking, or God's not saying, "What's in it for me?" But don't we do that all the time? When we do our ask for anything, it's funny. Gospel of Luke. Jesus spoke to the young rich man because that young rich man asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, if you remember, to sell all he had and to give it to the poor and to follow him. Wow. The young man hung his head, he turned around and he walked off because he couldn't do that. He was too materialistic. Jesus knew that when he asked him to do it. In chapter 18, verse 26, it also says that those who heard this encounter ask, "Who can be saved then?" Well, then comes Peter's response, and he appears to be speaking for the group, or so he wants Jesus to think he's speaking for the group, when he said, "We have left all we had to follow you." And I can just see Peter in his piety. He was pointing out to Jesus, "Look what we have done. We've given everything, so what's in it for us?" Peter was so human. In the book of Job, remember, Satan went to God. And he said, "Job is only serving you, because what he's getting out of it, you're blessing him. And that's the only reason he's following you, because that's what he's getting out of it." So God allowed Satan to take everything from Job, his family, his possessions, even his health. Couldn't take his life, though. God was making a point that Job worshiped him, not for what he was getting out of it, but because Job loved God, and he feared him, and he respected him, and he shunned evil. Well, of the three, let's take a first look at wisdom. Wisdom can come to us in two ways. Either it's a gift from God that we ask for, or it's the result of our search. One Christmas, I remember the family gathering that we usually had, and we were opening presents, and one of my nephews was about 3 or 4 years old, and he had asked for nothing but blue presents and white presents that year, so all of his presents were wrapped in blue paper and white paper. Well, when it came to the gift, because I recognized it, that our family had given to him, he opened it up, and he said, "I wish I hadn't wanted this," and then he just fell over on the floor. And we know he was being overly dramatic. and he really liked that. But it was funny. But when we ask for God's wisdom, what are we expecting? Do we ask him for that wisdom and say, I wish I hadn't wanted that, and then we fall over? Verse 7 tells us, if we're faithful in exercising this gift of wisdom in all we do, God will keep us from pride and greed. And if you read about seven more chapters up, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There it is, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in that order. Well, what is knowledge? Knowledge is the ability to tell the difference between good and bad. Remember, freshmen in college have to take exactly what their advisor tells them to take, because if they're left to their own devices, like some of us in this room, and I won't say my name, they may end up on the 7-year academic plan. I was a professional student. Well, in my career, I thought bowling and archery were good for my degree. Well, they just ended up being good for my GPA. In the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before sin entered the garden, there was no need for discernment to tell the difference between good and bad. Think about it. Didn't have to. But once sin entered in, sin entered into the garden, the knowledge to tell the difference was necessary. Verse 10, as we read earlier of our scripture, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you. Once we receive the knowledge that we ask for, the wisdom that we ask for, rather, knowledge is built upon it, and the ability to discern between what God would have us to do and what he would not have us to do in our walk with him and for him is there in the scriptures. Well, lastly, let's go on to understanding. I looked up the definition for understanding, and it says the ability to understand. The second little definition said to comprehend. Understanding is the ability to comprehend. Well, a synonym, a word that means the same, that we could use in place of understanding is mastery. Mastery. That's a pretty heavy concept to include with the other two. Think about it. Wisdom, knowledge, mastery. Now, I don't want to imply that we master God by any means. What I do want to get across this morning is when we master something, the use or the exercise of that knowledge becomes so second nature to us, it's just easy. Just think of a relationship with God that comes so easy that the ability to understand his word, think about it, it comes so easy. In all honesty, the only way that that can be done is for us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and we hear his voice clearly. When that happens, it's called intimacy. The same relationship that Adam and Eve had with God in the Garden of Eden was one of intimacy. To know someone so well that you can finish their sentences for them. And those of you that have been married for many years, you know exactly what that is. Can we imagine this morning what it would be like to be so connected to God that we're in tune with his very thoughts? This is what Paul was talking about when he told the Thessalonians to be in a constant state of prayer. Now, what Paul definitely wasn't telling them, if they thought this, that they should walk around with their heads bowed and their eyes closed all the time. Not at all. But rather, an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time. That's what Paul was telling them. Every waking moment is to be lived in awareness that God is with us and that he is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and actions. That is the level of understanding that God desires for us and with us. Well, the world has understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. The biblical order, as I told the youth this morning, is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Quite different from what the world prescribes. In all honesty, things of the Bible are foolishness to the world. They're foolishness. To a non-believer, this book is no more than a compilation of facts and history that they can read, and then they can just put it away. But when we become believers and our spiritual eyes are opened, this book becomes alive. God will grant us wisdom if we just ask for it. He's told us that's all we have to do. As we study His Word, He will give us a greater knowledge of His plans and desires for our lives and how we can be used in His great master plan, and then gain an understanding of His true nature, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's these three in that order that we can see God on a daily basis. If we look for Him, we will find Him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is "Jesus is All the World to Me," hymn number 469. If you desire to join this church at this time, then we will accept your membership or your by profession of faith, transfer of letter. If you'd like to come forward and just pray and ask God for wisdom in something that you're going through in your life right now, our prayer rails are open. If you need somebody to pray with you, I will be here at the front. I'll be more than happy to pray with you. We have other leaders here that will pray with you. Take the hand of a friend. Come up and pray. Seek God. You'll find Him. Don't wait. Let's all stand and sing hymn number 469.
Thank you.
Praise God that we've got heat this service.
Amen.
It was 60 degrees in here in the first service. It was blanket day on Asbury. I mean, we were wrapped up. I hope that a little bit of Proverbs speaks to you. You know, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. You don't have to read it to ask. James says, just ask for it. God will give it to you. It's just that easy. I hope you've been blessed today. And please, bow your head to receive this blessing. Father, we do ask you for wisdom because we get tripped up on our own. We fail. We're human. Father, forgive us. Walk with us this week. Talk with us this week. Place people in our path that we can hear from you through them, and also that we can minister to other people. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.